Praise the Lord, everybody. What a blessing to see you, Bridgeway family. Oh, let's give God praise. Come on, clap those hands and give him praise. Oh, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. It is so good to see you all, and thank God for another day that he has given us to bless him and to exalt his name. And it just seemed like I ain't been here for a little while. But it is good to be here with my family and to see you all and to spend some time with you through the word of God. How many of you rather be here than the best hospital in town? Now, I ask that in all seriousness because I was in a hospital visiting someone here about an hour ago, maybe an hour and a half ago now, and I thought to myself, I said, Lord, I'm so thankful that you have given me health and given me strength and the ability to bless your name. So I'm just grateful and so glad to see all of you all here. And I certainly want to honor the Lord and honor our pastor, Pastor Lance, and all of the leaders here at Bridgeway. And we certainly bring you greetings from my home church, the Center of Praise Ministries, and they send their love for you all. You know, they get mad when I come up here. They don't like me to be away from home, but they send their love to you all from Center of Praise and all the leaders and the church family there. So let's get ready to see what God has for us. Will you pray with me? And let's get right into the word. Father, we thank you right now for the word of God. Thank you for clarity of thought, continuity of thinking, accuracy of the text. Help your servant to teach in such a way that even a child will be able to understand and embrace the wonderful revelation and truth that is given through the sacred text. Lord, we love you. We bless you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to transform our heart. Thank you. You love us just the way that we are, but you love us too much to leave us as we are. You're changing us. You're maturing us. You're growing us. So thank you, Lord. Teach now, Holy Spirit. And we'll give you all the praise, all the adoration, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles, if you join with me, in Ephesians chapter 6 and meet me over there along verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. I want to talk to you today about what it means to be empowered, equipped, and engaged. Empowered, equipped, and engaged. I understand you all have been in a series, and I'm grateful that when I come to share and minister here, I've been told, now you can preach from the series, but you're fine if you want to preach off topic a little bit. So I'm going to do a little bit off topic, but I think it's going to fit your series as well as we are looking at what God is doing in this church through his Holy Spirit. And this is, for you who don't know, this is Pentecost weekend. Tomorrow is considered to be Pentecost Sunday. It's the birthing of the church, the outpouring of God's Spirit upon his people. And you'll see as we get into the text how God always sets it up. Holy Spirit always sets it up in such a way that, you know, I don't preach holidays and dates and things to that effect, but he knows just what we need when we need it. So we're going to look here again in Ephesians 6, and I'm going to pick it up here in verse 10. You follow along with me. Finally, this is again in Ephesians 6 and 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace in all circumstances. Let me ask you, how many circumstances?
All.
Yeah, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given me or given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So far, the reading of the word of God for the people of God. This passage we know is written by the Apostle Paul. It is suggested that he is writing this from his first imprisonment. And in writing this, he's addressing the church of Ephesus, or people, or the believers in particular, of Ephesus. It's a church that is made up of both Jews and Gentiles. There are various groups of people that have come together. So a lot of the theme that runs throughout the book of Ephesians is encouraging this group of people coming together, that there would be unity, that there would be, again, an acceptance and an embracing of one another. Some have said that he wrote this sometime between 60 and 62 AD, sometime in that time frame, 62 or 60 AD. And he's writing this, interesting, in this particular chapter. He writes this after beginning the chapter, in this portion of the letter, we're talking about issues of the family, talking about children and talking about parents and talking about how we're to interact with each other within the household and the family. And then he goes into talking about how employers are to treat employees and how employees are to respond to employers. And then all of a sudden, it seems like just in the midst, he drops this teaching or this focus now on the armor of God. I find that fascinating, because when I have read this in times past, I thought, man, he just seemingly is all over the place, just switching subject matter. He's talking about children. He's talking about parents. Then he's talking about employers. And he's talking about employees. Now he talks about that there's something going on that requires us to put on this, what he uses as an analogy or a type, an armor of God. And when I was reading this over the last several weeks, I thought about, I can't remember if there's ever been a time in my Christian walk as a believer that I've not heard a message on the armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God. In fact, I think it goes all the way back to my Sunday school days at Shiloh Baptist Church as a little six-year-old that I first heard about putting on the armor of God. They stuck a little Velcro armored soldier on the board and said, this is what we're to put on. And they put all the pieces on, and I looked at it, and From that day forward, I've thought, well, whatever that armor is, I want it. Sounds like I need to have it, because it said, put on the armor, the whole armor of God. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I know you all were wondering what my friend here was here for. And my friend came all the way from Center of Praise, first time he's ever been in Bridgeway. Never been to Bridgeway before. And you all make sure he gets a welcome packet and all the good stuff that you all give, all right? But it's interesting, because he talks about, in the book of Ephesians, putting on this whole armor. And I have to admit that the metaphorical imagery that is presented here is so encouraging to me, because what I have not seen in times past about the armor of God is something that I'm going to share with you today. And I submit to you that you may have not seen it, and yet it is so obvious in the text. I've grown up in church, but I have not seen it until recent days. And I thought to myself, Lord, how can I now be 63, going on 64 years of life, been born again since I was 7, but I've never seen this in the context of the armor of God. Let me be more specific. In the text that we just read, he says something that's interesting. He says, finally, as though to draw our attention here, this is important. Be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. And then he goes on to say, put on the armor of God. But then he says that you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness. And I thought to myself, if it was dark at the time that Paul wrote this, it surely is dark now. If it was dark then, in his present time, then most certainly things are dark now. It's fascinating because several years ago, my wife and I took a trip to the Holy Land, and we went to Jerusalem, and we went through various aspects of the Holy Land. We spent 8 days there. Had never gone. It was a fast-paced trip. Every day from sunup to sundown, we were doing something in the tour we were on. We had gone with a group of pastors. It was probably about 10 pastor couples that had gone. And on one of the days of the trip, they took us to the border of Israel and Lebanon. And we were standing out, my wife and I, in an apple orchard. And the tour guide and some government officials that were traveling with us, because later we would go and we would actually meet with the prime minister and we would later go into the Knesset and so forth. But during this particular visit, the officials of the government gave us an apple tree, a little sapling. And they said, we're going to have you plant this as a gesture of goodwill here in our country. So this is several years ago. So my wife and I went and we saw the hole in the ground and we put the little sapling there and patted the dirt around it and so forth. And as I looked over across into Lebanon, I could see what appeared to be a beautiful town that was sitting there on the hill. Just a beautiful town. And I thought to myself, what beautiful architecture. What beautiful scenery. I remember telling my wife, I said, this is something I wish I could just take a picture of and capture because it's so serene. I said, man, if we were to go into Lebanon, I'd probably want to go and visit that town. And in front there of the town, there were, as it were, a field, a agricultural field of some sort. I don't know what crop, but there were some farmers who were out there cultivating the field. And as I looked, I'm new, so I took my camera out and was taking pictures and waving and click, click, and waving. And so then the official said, no, don't do that. And I said, why? I'm just taking a picture. He said, no. He says, those aren't farmers. In fact, the town you're looking at is not a town. It's a facade. He said, the town that you're looking at is actually a facade. There's no one that's in that town. But it is set up for operatives. And he says, and the operatives are watching you harder than you're watching them. And then he went on to say, he says, what you think you see, he says, there's something else behind it. You're seeing one thing, but don't be fooled or be deceived. There's something behind what you see. Can I tell you something? So it is in the spirit realm. Beloved, there are things that you and I face every single day. challenges that we face every single day, circumstances that we deal with every day. But don't be deceived. There's something that is behind every action and everything that is taking place around your life. That's why Paul says that there are forces, rulers, authorities, cosmic powers in this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in all heavenly places. He says, don't get so comfortable that you forget, here it is, that there's a battle going on. There's a war going on. The adversary is not celebrating where you're going in your walk with God. The adversary is not happy that your marriage is being restored. The adversary is not happy that your children are being raised in the things of God. Trust me on this, beloved. There are forces that seek to destroy, to discourage, to raise your level of anxiety in the day that we live in. But I've got good news for you on this Pentecost weekend. The enemy has already lost. He's already lost. And God, the Father, through his Holy Spirit, has given us every provision that we need so that we can walk as victors in the things of the Lord. He's given us the armor of God. He's given us something that we may wage war, but win. Now, all these years that I've been taught about the armor of God, I've been taught, put the armor on so you can protect yourself against the things of the enemy. And I've always thought of the armor as being our defensive weapons. But beloved, before I get through, you're gonna find out that God doesn't give you this armor merely so you can be defended. He gives you the armor so that you can begin to move in the offense and begin to take ground in the things that God has provided in your life. That's why he's giving you the armor. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Paul gives this metaphorical imagery to what the Father has provided, enabling us to fight beyond our own strength. It's not based upon what you can do. It's based upon what God, through Christ, has already done. I like 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. Often we quote it, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down strongholds. Let me read it to you in the Message Bible and listen to what it says in the Message paraphrase. It says, the world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing the entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structured life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. I like that. I like that. What God has given us is so that we might demolish anything and everything that attempts to counter God's truth, God's word to us. Let me give you some things to write down, if you will, please. When we talk about putting on this armor, we're going to go through this armor here in just a moment. When we talk about putting on the armor of God, it requires steps of faith. Write this down. Number one, truth. That's the belt. The belt represents truth. Number two, he says, put on the breastplate. It represents righteousness. Thirdly, he says, put on the shoes. It represents peace. Put on the shield. It represents faith. Put the helmet on. It represents salvation. And then get your sword. it represents the word of God. Now, again, I said to you a moment ago, I've been told a long time, put the arm on, put the arm on, put the arm on. But no one ever told me how to put it on. They just said, put the whole armor of God on. Well, what does that mean? How do I do that? How do I put the armor of God? What does it look like? Do I need to go to the costume store and buy me an armor and put it on every day? What does it mean to put on the armor of God? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Because in Ephesians, maybe you missed this, in the 18th verse, something he says that I had missed so often. After he says, put on the whole armor of God, he gives us a clue of how to put it on in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. One translation says, praying with all types of prayer and supplication. In other words, being very specific. When we say supplication, being very specific, focused on the prayers that you pray. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and all supplication. Beloved, when he talks about putting on the armor of God, I never saw this. He had a comma there. He says, praying in the Spirit. Put the armor on. Here's how you do it. Praying in the Spirit. Put on the helmet. How do you do it? Praying in the Spirit. Put the shield of faith up. How? Praying in the Spirit. Get your sword. How? Praying in the Spirit. Put your shoes on. How? Praying in the Spirit. And making supplication. He doesn't tell you to do something that he has not provided a means for you to do it. He's given us the provision that we can put on the whole armor, and I submit to you without hesitation, it is through the ministry of prayer. It's through praying with the Holy Spirit who has been given to the church to empower us to walk this life and to walk this life successfully. That's what he has given us. Come on, you ought to give God praise for that. That's good. So he says, put it on. Now listen, this is good because if he's provided everything that I need to have the armor on, that means that I fight from a place in which I have already obtained acceptance with God and approval with God versus fighting from a place that I'm trying to gain acceptance or trying to gain approval. Beloved, he said, no. I provided the armor or the provision because there's nothing in your own flesh or your own power or your own ability that will enable you to win against the forces that are coming against you. You don't have enough money that can deliver your family. You don't have enough status that can break the yoke of addiction off of your life. You don't have enough of anything in your own power. Even all of your religion cannot set you free. But when you have relationship with a God who loves you, a God who cares for us, a God who has provided for us, he says, I've given you everything you need to walk victorious. Everything you need. I'm not telling you to put something on that I haven't already given it to you. So you ain't got to work for this. Lord, I just got to work to get right with God. You'll never work hard enough to get right with him. God, I just got to do this and then I'll be delivered. No. The only thing you and I can do, beloved, is lift our hands and our voices and say, yes, Lord. Lord, thank you that you have done everything that's necessary for me to walk victorious. Let's talk about this armor a little bit here. Let's talk about it and just take our time and look at some passages that helps to explain it. First of all, notice here, he says, put on the belt. The belt represents the truth, the word of God. John 17:17 says, God's word is truth. God's word is truth. So every day in my prayers, I am putting on through my thanksgiving for God's word, I'm putting on that belt. Beloved, I love the word of God. I love the truth of God. I know today it's a popular thing to put it in your phone and to put it on your iPad and to have it on your computer. But beloved, I need something I can hold in my hand. I need something I can still thumb through and mark up a little bit. I told somebody the other day, they said, oh, Bishop, your Bible, not this one, the one I read from all the time, they said, it is toe up, pages falling out of it. The leather is all toe up and it looks terrible, y'all. And they were trying to laugh at my little Bible. They were trying to laugh. They went out and got me this new one because they were laughing at my little toe up Bible. But I had to come back and I tell them, a toe up Bible is a sign of a put together life. I'd rather have my Bible toe up. I'd rather have my Bible toe up and have my life together. Come on, somebody. They were laughing at my Bible. The Bible represents truth, or it is truth. And the belt that we put on is truth. But then notice here, he says, not only are we to put the belt on, but we're to also put the breastplate on. And the breastplate is called the breastplate of righteousness, but there's also a reference in Scripture in which the breastplate is, listen, is called not only the breastplate of righteousness, but the breastplate of judgment. Now, which is it? Is it righteousness or judgment? It's both. It's both. Because when God judges, he judges righteously. He judges right. I'm so glad that God does not judge like y'all judge. I'm so glad that the Lord does not put me in the hands of unmerciful people. I'm glad that when he judges me in his righteousness. In Exodus 28 and 30, it says, and in the breastpiece of judgment, you shall put the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be on Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. Thus Aaron shall bear the judgment of the people of Israel on his heart before the Lord regularly. Notice here that in Exodus, we find here that the garment of the priest included wearing the breastpiece or the breastplate. And notice that the priest was to wear this, Aaron was to wear this before the Lord, and there were two articles called the Urim and the Thummim, which many people have thought that they were a type of lot that would be cast, in which whenever a decision needed to be made, or there needed to be discernment, that they would cast the Urim and the Thummim, and the people of God would have direction. Now, we don't have a lot of information exactly of what it was and how it was exactly used, but we do know that the two articles were to be given to Aaron, and Aaron was to place them within the breastplate, and they were to be close to his heart. And whenever Aaron as the priest would stand before the Lord, he would stand before the Lord with the breastplate, with the Urim and Thummim upon his heart. And as God would look at Aaron, Aaron would bear the needs of the people. Can I tell you something? That's what intercessors do. People who pray, people who intercede, people who understand that living for God is not just about praying for your needs, but living for God is interceding for one another and praying for your brother and sister. You carry them close to your heart, and we stand before the Lord as kings and priests of our God. All the time, regularly, we're standing before him. In fact, it says in that same passage that he was the bearer of the judgment of the people. I love it what it says in the Hebrew. It says he was to carry and lift this up before God. That's what prayer does. Every day when you and I are going about our lives, if you want to cause the adversary to be threatened, stop praying merely for your needs. If you want to send the adversary into a tizzy, stop just being concerned about God blessing you and being a brother and a sister that said, Lord, I have some needs. I have some things going on in my life, but Lord, I am willing to lay those things aside and pray for my brother, pray for my sister. I don't even know who I'm praying for, but God, I'm going to carry and lift them up before you. I have found out that when you start getting into God's business, he'll get into yours. You and I are not so concerned about what I need from God. I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteous acts. All these other things are added to me. So look at somebody. Come on. You know I'm going to make you talk to somebody. You know I'm going to make you. You knew I wasn't going to come all the way up here and not make you talk to each other. Look at somebody and tell them, I am praying for you. Go ahead and tell them that. Well, now listen. If you're going to pray for me like that, don't pray. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I need you to pray and say it like you have some enthusiasm. Tell them, I am praying for you. Go ahead and tell them. The breastplate. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8 says that we are also, it's called the breastplate of faith and love. Listen to what it says in 1 Thessalonians. Paul says in verse 5 and 8, chapter 5 and 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love. He calls the breastplate of righteousness, and what Exodus calls the breastplate of judgment, Paul says it's also called the breastplate of love and the breastplate of faith. He says, put this on. And he says, and do so in a day that is dark. He says, in the verses preceding this, he says, it's dark out there. It's dark out there. It's dark in this world. But you, children, are not of the dark. You're of the day. It's dark out there, but you're not of the dark. You're of the day. You're of the light. In other words, everywhere you go, people ought to know that the people of God are in the space. The people of God are on your job. The people of God are in your neighborhood. The people of God are in your school. The people, they ought to know. They ought to know that you're a child of God. Please, please, if you plan to leave here tonight and go and cuss everybody out in your neighborhood and go off, do not tell them you just finished listening to Bishop Lovelace over at Bridgeway. I will deny that I ever knew you. Don't even tell them you go to Bridgeway. You, children, are of the light. You're of the day. So we have to live sober. Sober. Pray that you put it on, this breastplate. Then he says, put some shoes on here. Put some shoes on. He calls it the gospel of peace. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this. I love the fact that I have peace with God. And because I have peace with God, I have peace in God. And because I have peace in God, therefore, I have the peace of God. Oh, hallelujah. The peace of God. I'm not going back and forth wondering, God, do you love me? God, do you care for me? God, do you care for my life? I don't have that conversation with God anymore. See, since 1977, when I gave my life to the Lord Jesus and he changed my life, I know that I know that I know I have peace with God. Hallelujah. We don't go back and forth, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. I don't go back and forth, even when I fall short and miss the mark. Come on, I guess I'm the only one who falls short and missed the mark here. Even when we fall short and miss the mark, he doesn't kick us to the curb. Oh, hallelujah. Because we have peace of God, the peace of God, and we have peace with God. Put them shoes on, beloved. Put those shoes on. Every day when you get up out the bed, you ought not to be getting up out the bed talking about, oh, the devil, oh, the devil, the devil. Oh, the devil. You know the devil is busy. Oh, the devil is so busy. Oh, the devil. Oh, he's just going forth like a roaring. Oh, just going forth. The devil. You need to put them shoes on so you get up out the bed. And the enemy says, oh, the man of God just got up out that bed. The woman of God just hit the floor. Oh, the whole all of hell is on alert because they are getting ready to kick devil butt today. Come on, somebody. There ought to be something that not leaves us in a place of merely being on the defense, but we're going on the offense. We're stepping into territory, taking the things that God says you can have. God says you can have your family delivered. God says your children can be saved. God says that addiction can be broken. God says your marriage can be healed. God says, come on here, y'all. God says you got to go after it. I'm almost done. Boy, y'all got me all riled up here. So put the breastplate on. Then he says, put on the shield of faith. Some people say it protects the vital organs of the body. I like what it says in Psalm 3:3. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. I like what the God's Word translation says. But you, O Lord, are a shield. Watch this. You are a shield that surrounds me. You are the glory, my glory, and I hold my head up high. Ooh, y'all. Every day when you pray in the Spirit, God says, I will be a shield around you. Mm. Why, and listen, even while you're facing this way, he's got your back. Even on your right, on your left, that shield, even above you and beneath you, the shield. Even when the attacks are coming, the arrows are coming at you. Tat, 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 tat. Every arrow is extinguished by the shield of faith. You need to tell somebody, you don't look like what you've been through. Come on, tell them. You do not look like what you've been through. You've been through some things. Some of you are going through some things right now. Some of you will still go through some things. But every attack of the adversary will be extinguished through the shield of faith as you pray in the Spirit. Mm. Then get that sword. Get that sword. Get that sword in place. Did I skip one? Oh, I forgot the helmet. Got to get that helmet on too. That's what's wrong with your head now. You ain't got the helmet on. We got to put that helmet on. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Protect. Listen, put that helmet on. He says, but since we belong to today, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Let me tell you what it is not, then let me tell you what it is. The helmet, when he talks about the hope of salvation, beloved, he's not talking about salvation as it relates to, are you going to go to heaven or go to hell? That's not what he's talking about. How do you know that? Because he was already talking to believers. So he's not talking about heaven or hell here. When he says salvation, it could be better translated as deliverance. Because here's what happens. We get attacked in the mind. We get attacked over and over again in the mind. I just left a hospital, and this woman who's sitting in the hospital right now, the doctors have told her she has terminal cancer, and they said that there's nothing else that they can really do. They rushed her to the hospital today, not far from this place. I knew I was coming out here, so I ran over to the hospital. I didn't go to the hospital to do last rites. When I walked in the hospital, I came to pray the prayer of faith. And I came to counter some things that were in her mind because she was saying to me, Bishop, I want you to preach my funeral. I said, sweetheart, that ain't going to be for a long time. I said, we're not going to just get ready to bury you here. I'm believing God to heal your body because it ain't over till God says it's over. I see, y'all want a patty cake. I'll just say, I need some faith, folks. I know I got somebody in here that will tell you that when your back was against the wall and the enemy told you it could not happen and he was coming against your mind, aren't you glad you had that helmet on? Hallelujah. Then get that sword. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. I got to learn how to walk this out that the people of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let me close with this passage in Isaiah, and maybe this will bring it home to you. You got to put that armor on, babies. You got to put it on. You got to pray in the spirit. You got to pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to watch God change some things. Watch God do something. Hallelujah. Isaiah 59, 15. Let me read it to you, and we'll go. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Listen to what God says. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice in the land. He saw that there was no man or woman and wondered that there was no one, notice here, to intercede. There was no one to stand in the gap. Then his own arm brought him salvation. God says, I can't find anybody to intercede, so I'll jump in the middle. And with his own arm, he brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. Look what God did. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak according to their deeds, so that he will repay wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies, to the coastlands. He will render repayment, so they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. And he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives, and a redeemer, I love this, and a redeemer will come to Zion. To those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit, come on here, my spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, or out of the mouth of your offspring, or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. God gave you an armor. He gave you the provision. Listen, he gave you what he put on himself first. Y'all missed it. I'm wearing my daddy's clothing. Every day that I wake up and get out of my bed, I've got my daddy's clothes on. I've got his shield on. I've got his helmet on. I've got his armor on. I've got the whole armor of God that I'm wearing right now, so that anything that the adversary thinks he will do is already defeated. And not because I'm standing in the defense, but I'm moving in the offense. Oh, hallelujah to God. I came to help somebody that depression and anxiety has been eating you up and you're fearful. I came to tell you, get the armor on and take territory. When you leave here, go to bed tonight in peace. And not pieces. Lay your head down, fluff your pillow up, pull your blanket over your shoulders, and say, God, you've got this. And watch him work. Oh, children, thank you for hanging with me a little longer here. I feel anointing in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless his name. Come on, stand to your feet. We're getting ready to go, but I want dozens of you to say, Bishop, before we go, just pray with me. Just pray with me. Help me put that armor on tonight. Run up here real quick. I don't care who you are. Come on, run up here and let me pray with you. You know I can't come to Bridgeway and not pray. Come on out of that seat and let's pray and ask God to just touch here before we get ready to go. Come on, all wherever you are, come on. Let's sing together. Come on. Hallelujah. I trust in God. Come on, children. He's my Savior. Yeah. Will never. Hallelujah.
He will never fail.
I trust
in God. He's my Savior.
Oh, yeah.
Who will never fail. He will never fail.
Hallelujah.
I trust him. He's my Savior, the one.
He will never,
who will never,
never fail. Never fail. Hey, God,
he
thank you.
He will never fail.
I sought the Lord, and he heard,
and he answered.
Yes, you did.
I sought the Lord,
and he heard.
And he heard.
I sought
the Lord.
He heard you.
And he heard.
He heard
and
you.
He answered.
That's why I
trust him.
Yes, God.
That's why
yes,
I
God.
Trust him. I sought the Lord.
And he heard.
And he heard. And he answered.
I sought
the Lord.
And he heard,
and he answered. I sought the Lord,
and he heard,
and he answered. I sought the
he
Lord,
hears us.
And he heard, and he answered.
It's gonna be all right.
That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God. He's my Savior, the one who will never fail.
He will never fail. My Savior,
he's my Savior.
He's the one
who will never fail. He will never fail.
Now let's pray together. Let me pray with you. You pray with me. You pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. And you pray for the people that are around you. In fact, just reach over and touch an elbow or touch a shoulder, because it's not just about you. Sometimes when we pray for others, God just starts getting into all of our business. So in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you tonight. We put on the whole armor, praying in the Spirit with all supplication. We thank you tonight that this very night you are delivering, you are healing, you are setting us free to move forward in the offense. We have lived in the defense merely long enough. God, we're ready to take some territory. We're ready to see our family set free. See our children, God, grow strong in the things of God. I've seen you do it. I've seen you do it, God. Lord, we're ready to move out of the bondage of addiction and walk free, God, and move into areas of recovery like we've never been able to do. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you're putting food on the table. You're getting clothes on our back, shelter over our head. So God, we trust you. We trust you. No longer will depression, anxiety, fear, and unbelief rule in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you now. You have no authority over the things of God's people. In Jesus' name, we walk delivered, we walk healed, and we walk whole. In Jesus' name, we put the whole armor on. In Jesus' mighty name. Now give God the best praise you can give him. Come on, give him praise. Oh, give him praise. Come on, children. Give him praise. Give him praise. Come on, clap those hands. Come on, clap those hands. Come on, tell him thank you. Come on, tell him thank you. Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. We bless you. Listen. Y'all, I gotta go, you gotta go, we gotta go, all God's children gotta go. We getting ready to get up out of here. I'm so glad I came tonight. Are you glad you came to church? God bless you. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The prayer team is gonna hang tight. If you want more prayer, the prayer team is gonna hang tight. God bless you as you go. Love y'all.